23rd is probably the best fit for you?
Oh, yeah, for the.
For the sign?
Yep, yep. That would be, that's because we got.
Some space between.
The only thing which is in the same week, on the 23rd, I think it's on 30th, it's for 006, other hand, the second one.
Yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, that's.
Because we need to really start beginning working on the project for sustainable development.
Yeah.
I believe taught it. Maybe we should try to get, going this week, kind of do something practical. Last week was, you see.
Okay. So we stopped.
Yep.
23rd, was it?
Yep.
Right. We'll take a note. But please, before we start, I present new research assistants. Christina, she went on to this master and was finished at the spring. You can perhaps say something about yourself.
Yes, my name is Christina Michelki. I'm from Oslo. And I graduated this spring from sustainable manufacturing law. Yeah, now I'm working as a VTAS here.
Research assistant.
Yes, research assistant.
And she will try to help you with all what you ever need in this course. Of course, it's a new course, so she has not had the course herself. But then she can ask me or anyone else. So try, hey, try to use it. Use her. Sorry that I need to start, because as long as I have this setup, this audio and recording starts at precise time. So I need to start. I cannot be flexible. It's easier when I have the other hand, it's easy. So, but I was urged to use this other recording devices. Right, what we are now going to do is on organizational culture. And today, I'm not doing the work, you are. You are going to work in groups. Because the reason for that is that culture is something that you have some familiarity with. But I'm not quite sure you have ever really thought about culture and what it is. And now we're going to dig a little bit deeper, and you are going to do a lot of work and present. I'm coming back to that. Have you read the chapters I put up on the website, on Blackboard? Yeah, then you have the time to at least go through them now, because you need to. Okay. What I'm going to do now is to say, if we are going to investigate culture, we are going to investigate something that is very, very difficult to investigate, because you cannot prove a culture. You cannot grab it. There isn't something there, is there? So, and we are talking about not a single culture. We are often talking about systems within systems within systems within systems. And then it kind of becomes difficult, because some of you are Norwegian and some of you are not. So, on the one hand, you have Norwegian culture, and then you have all the other cultures. That is one system. You're with me so far? And then you have, you know, you attend NTNU. NTNU has a culture. And then you attend IVB, which is the institute. That has a culture. And then you have the study program, which has a culture. And so you can go on forever if you want. So you see, it is a system within the system, within the system, within the system. So it's kind of difficult. So now we are going into the difficult part of the course. And then, since it is systems within the systems within the systems, we cannot do ordinary analysis because we are not talking about one entity. Because we are talking about things that are on different levels. And then we are going into multi-dimensional analysis. I'm going to talk about that later, and you're going to try to do that. And it's inspired by triangulation. Do you know what that is? All of you. Okay? You can try to explain what is triangulation.
By using... Either you can use triangulation in two-dimensional and three-dimensional space. But by using different reference points, you can find any point inside the area.
Mm.
For example, mobile cell towers is one. By using different cell towers, you can kind of locate where a person is at any time.
If you have a point here, and here, and here, let's do your... Sorry. use your example, mobile phone, and you are standing here. It's a slim version. Okay, and then this cell tower you are talking to, but this cell tower also knows that you are in the area, and this cell tower. First of all, then we know that you are inside the triangle, right? And then if we know the distance between the phone, you see, that's a phone, it's a new type of phone, it's very, yeah, anyhow, if you knew the distance to that, then we can pinpoint like this. If we knew the distance from that one, we can say something like that. And if we knew that one, then we can do this, and then it is in the cross. Yeah, it should be there. Then it is in the cross where you are located. That is triangulation. So, multi-dimensional analysis goes or use different analysis, different entities to understand one thing, and then you understand a different thing with another type of analysis, and then you do that. You don't do that just with three, you could use 4, 6, or 20 or whatever, but all together they tend to really understand something deeper. Okay. Have you ever heard about C.P. Snow? He was author, and he had this lecture in 1959. Lecture at Cambridge. It is rare. The lectures at Cambridge is very, very important lectures, and it is prestigious lectures. And he the most prestigious lectures is what this C.P. Snow did. He called it Two Cultures, where he tried to explain why social science and natural science did not talk together. It is, you can buy such a small book, thin book, but it's quite interesting to look at and read, because not that I think it's very good analysis of these differences, but it is a kind of difference, and what he lacked to understand really is that social science cannot do triangulation with three points. Why? Now I'm into methodology, and you have methodology in a different course. Why can't we use natural science methods in social science?
It's not always about numbers.
Yeah, but I can. You can be one, he can be two, then you have numbers.
But then you talk about culture. It is something you cannot quantify.
Yeah. But now I'm very, I'm not very nice to you, and I will be in that corner just a little bit more. I could say that culture is about artifacts, signs, etc., etc. These are the entities of a culture. There are nothing else. Let's say that it is two things, signs and artifacts. Right? And okay, we can do war stories also. Stories that you tell in order to have an entity in that culture, like fairy tales in Norway. We have these huge amount of fairy tales. You have it in Germany also, fairy tales. Fairy tales are something that binds culture together, national culture. These three, and then we can investigate each of them and ask them, how many times do you think of fairy tales during a day or whatever, then we can quantify. We can quantify, but what you are really saying is that it doesn't bring anything to the table. It doesn't bring an insight to the table. If I'm going to talk, if I'm saying that I never understand or think about, rather, fairy tales during a working day, then it's zero. I asked Christina, she thinks about it once a day, and you think about it five times a day. What does that tell us? Does that tell us anything about being Norwegian? No, it doesn't. Yes.
Well, to kind of use, at least in my opinion, if you want to use some kind of triangulation for finding out something about humans,
mm-hmm.
you first need to kind of define what do you want to find out about.
Yeah.
And the thing is, if you want to find out about some, let's say in a more mathematical way, how many dimensions do you want to implement into your research? And like, let's say there are three different dimensions, then you need six reference points to find something in that space. Maybe you want to investigate seven dimensions, then it becomes a much more complex system.
Yeah, it is a more complex system, but what you are lacking in the thought is that when I investigate the distance from this cell tower to the phone. I assume that he is standing still, and these are not changing, right? So let's do another example. If I'm going to investigate some social phenomena, it is this table. And I'm going to investigate this part of the whole table. And now I take that away and I look carefully at it. What I then do is I say that the rest of the table is constant. Doesn't that? I keep the rest of the table constant. It doesn't change. Because if it changed, then it's no use for me to look at this little piece, is there? And then, after my investigation, I have done something really deep. Whatever, find something new about this, then I put it back together like that, and then I know a little bit more about the phenomena, which is the table. You are with me so far? In social science, I can't do that. Because that, the rest of the table will change. I cannot say that it's constant. It's not. If I'm going to use a survey, a questionnaire, and I'm going to do that today and the next week, I'm certain that you will answer it differently. Yes?
But how is it better with natural science? Like, if you do a survey in social science, this week and next week, the results may change.
Yes.
Or they may not, but they are likely to. But how is that different in the natural science?
Let's, for instance, say that I'm into to atomic scale modeling for whatever. This is aluminum. And I'm going to investigate what is impurities in aluminum. Then I can take, now I'm going to investigate just one incident. I take this away and look at impurities, that kind of impurity. Let's say it's carbon. And I look what kind of carbon, etc., etc., in this alloy. But this alloy doesn't change, does it?
Well, for example, it could change over more than like weeks.
No, this is my sample. My sample doesn't change. Yes, I'm going to come to. It doesn't change. I can look at the carbon. I can take the carbon out. And the rest is constant. My sample of aluminum doesn't change. And when I have investigated what kind of carbon it is, I can put it back and I know about the carbon impurities in this alloy of aluminum. That's constant. Yes?
Yes, I was just going to say that in natural sciences you can control your environment in a greater sense than can in social sciences.
Yes.
For example, in the chemistry lab, you can make a physical container where you have your system, and that's all. And you can control it almost in the exact way that you want. And you can't do this in the social sciences.
Yeah.
In the same extent.
So if I take out a sheet of aluminum, like the table here, and I only sample the carbon impurities, the rest is constant. It doesn't change. We don't add new carbon to it. It is the carbon which is present at the table, at my sample. Doesn't change. So I can, with a high degree of validity, keep this constant while I'm investigating one piece of the sample. Are you with me?
So the difference between natural science and social science in that case would be that you can isolate parts of the system in natural science more easily than social science?
Yeah. And natural science, it is valid to do that. But I can't. If I'm going to investigate your anger, is it really the same anger you have all the time, every time you feel anger? No, it's not. To be honest, it's not. If not, then you are a very special person. Of course, you are a special person, but every one of us are. Yes?
Well, what you're basically talking about is that any system containing humans is always going to be a dynamic system, and often a highly dynamic system.
Yeah.
So then looking at the single parts maybe isn't that useful. And like often, like philosophically speaking, when you're talking about natural sciences, you're talking about often the analytical approach.
Mm-hmm.
When you're talking about dynamic systems, maybe a systems approach, or maybe going as far as being part of a system.
Mm.
So that you, as kind of a single tower, also are moving with what you're, and not only moving, but experiencing the same things as what you're studying.
Yeah. And what you are then implying is that we have a subjective way of investigation to it. And what that brings me to is a very good book from Kushner, not the one in the White House, but it is called Kushner. Harold is its first name. When Bad Things Happen to Good People. He was a priest in America. And he thought that if I'm doing everything right, I will succeed in life. And then his son got cancer and died. And this is a father's way of dealing with him, his belief, his religion, and also his desperate thoughts of why should this really happen to me? I'm a good person. I believe in God. I worship God. I've done everything right. And still God is punishing me. Why? And you can see that if you're trying to investigate that in a natural science method, you can't, because it's subjective. It is not something you can have constant at all. It is his despair of the unfortunate things that happened to him during life. This is a very strong book, strong message, but we are all part of society and we are all part of what has happened to us in the past, and that forms our personality. And we cannot be objective to social events. If you try to say that you are objective, I laugh and don't believe. Because you can't. And therefore, every time you are going to talk about social events, please also put something of yourself into the text, because it kind of says your background. it kind of says why, what kind of glasses you have on. Be honest with your subjectivity, not try to wrap it in into a package of objectivity. It is not objective at all. Never will. This you should have learned or going to learn in social scientific methodology. Is it that?
Can you just draw the paper about it?
Yeah. All right. Then you know. Let's go on. I have taken.
This lecture is much about this book and the book which I have written. It comes in the spring of 2018. You have what I have uploaded is my three of the chapters. The most famous book about culture is Shine. I'm not very much a fan of Shine because I think he is dealing with it too easily. But I'm a little bit fan of Fran Martin. She says she actually has four perspectives, but I'm just going to take the three because I think they are really good, valid research statements or perspectives. The fourth, I think she messed it up with the fourth. The fourth is a mix of the three. And then I think it kind of gets blurred. But if you're going to look here, this is about organization. This is not national cultures. So keep that in mind. We have integration. Organizational wide consensus. We at NTNU, we are this or that. We are doing work for a better world or whatever that kind of statement the rector is going to present. Then he is in the integration. He thinks there is consistency. Ambiguity is excluded. We are all in one and all and one for all. And there is a clarity. Okay? Every time you hear a CEO in a company, you will hear this. At our place, we are going, our values are people, sustainability, or integration, honesty, or whatever he says. Then you have the differentiation perspective. It is about subcultures. And inside each subculture, you have consensus. But it's inconsistency. Because there are no form of integration between the subcultures. Right? And then you challenge ambiguity to the outside. It's us against them. They, have you heard what they did? But we do this, but they, you have heard that, I'm sure of it. And she says it is islands of clarity in a sea of ambiguity. Right? So our island, it is our group, and the rest is floating around and we don't really care about. And then you have a fragmentation. Well, there is no consensus, even in small groups. Now, it's going to get difficult. It is complexity. And what we really do is to focus on ambiguity. And it is a jungle. Sometimes I think this is very much a political perspective on culture. When politicians think they can stand out from the crowd, even stand out from their own party, and try to be a very good person or a good politician, they tend to do that. Listhaug in Norway is such an example. She's saying things in migration and integration areas that is more or less supported by the Fremskrittspartiet party, yeah? But the others don't say that. But she is saying things in such a way that people tend to react to it. And the only thing why she does it is to focus on ambiguity, right? And she thinks that she will gain votes if she creates a jungle, if there are no clarity. And you can kind of do that if you are talking about this Twitter president on the other side of the ocean. He is not aligned with the Republican Party, is he? Sometimes he is, and sometimes he isn't. So you now get a flavor of this. I'm just going to get you into the things, what is differences, because you are going to work with this later. But then you have a very good book called The Interpretation of Cultures by Clifford Geertz. And what fascinated me when I read it was his definition of religion. It is a system of symbols which act to establish powerful, persuasive, and long-lasting moods and motivation in men by formulating conceptions of a general order of existence and clothing these with conceptions with such an aura of faculty that the moods and motivation seem unlike uniquely realistic. This you can, if you look at every political movement, you can see this. This is not just a definition of religion. This is rather a definition of cultures, in my opinion. If you take this Twitter president, you can see that, can't you? And look, if you look at the Conservative Party, at which has their annual meeting today and tomorrow. Tomorrow is very interesting because then Theresa May is going to give her speech to all the delegates. And the mess they have been in with the Brexit negotiations, it is really a speech which she is making or breaking. Not only the her political career, but also the entire Conservative Party and the nation, United Kingdom nation. That's it's a very, very important speech. It happens tomorrow. You can think what I'm going to do tomorrow. But can you see that here is what defines a culture? And if you're going for Marx, Mao in China, or whatever dictators you like, you can put what he said into that. It is hard to really concentrate the masses in order to make them do things that benefit you, isn't it? And if you go from that to a company, it is all about that. Trying to have symbols, a system of symbols, systems within systems, establishing and having them, these symbols, to act, to establish powerful and persuasive moods and motivations in the people, in the organization. And formulating conceptions. That is the war stories. That is the stories we tell, isn't it? And in every organization we have stories about things that are extraordinary or good or bad or whatever. Yes?
At least in my opinion, I think even though most scientists tend to do this, they tend to stick to their own perspective and their own methodology, and that's how we investigate. And I think, especially for culture, I think you're always going to be lacking if you force one perspective. You need to either use different perspectives, or if that is unrealistic, you need to listen to people with other perspectives to gain a broader picture of how the system actually functions.
Yes, but this is how you try to tend to do that. It doesn't say that you are not listening to people. You are not. It is not one track. You can have, of course, if you get a better idea, then you change the symbols or you change the concepts or the facts. Okay. What I think you can do today then is to think about yourself. You are students in Ensuma at NTNU. What does it mean to be an NTNU Ensuma student? What are the dimensions? What are the subcultures, if they exist? What are the main culture artifacts? Or is there any artifacts? What are the war stories? What are the stories told? What are the values? What are the signs? Why are we NTNUers? What makes us NTNUers and Zoomers? Whatever you want to call it. By doing this, I think that you will dig deeper into the meaning of these things. And I put up three chapters on the website, which is part of the book, as I said, and there you will find war stories. You will find artifacts and symbols, etc., etc., where I use them. in practical sense. And then you can try to do that and try to do it in your own situation. And try figure out what is nested systems, what is multi-dimensional analysis, what is it all about, and try to do that, because it is sounds easy when I say it. It's really tricky and difficult to do it yourself, but it's easier to do it on yourself than on others. I hope so. Yeah. So I think that you can form three groups or something, and make a presentation, and we will be back at 13:30. It is 1.5 hour. And then you present, and the others are opponent. Right? Can we do that? Because then I think you can get on grips with this very difficult term of culture. It's not easy. This is rather difficult. Right? You find your groups and so on yourself, of course. I'm not babysitting. But I will not be present here. Should I keep this up? Yeah, all right.
the point where we could define that already, but I think from like our discussion later, we maybe can go to that together and fill that slide. But we actually got quite a lot of dimensions or ideas for dimension that we found out.
Yep.
You wanna? Or should I? Whatever.
Sure. Well, we weren't quite sure in the beginning what was meant by dimensions, but then we thought of the basic ones as space and time. And we thought about the on-campus students and the remote students. And when it got to time, we thought about the experience. Experience of people.
Yeah, exactly. Students. Experience of people. Yeah. For example, right now we got the first semester and third semester people in MSUMA. And yeah, that we thought we could, with the dimensions, see which subcultures derived, for example. And also experience in matters of life experience. So there's people here who just graduated from university with a bachelor and now sit here in the master's. But there's also people with work experience or more like experience in general. That basically translates to diversity of previous experience. Yeah.
But we think that that's actually a very important dimension here. It's the diversity of our class. And then we thought about prior priorities, and this came also from actually the on-campus, off-campus students. I mean, we were thinking that maybe the on-campus students maybe have some different priorities than off-campus students due to, we that are here, we have the studies as a main...
priority.
Yeah, main priority. Why the remote students, maybe they have families or they have full-time jobs on the side that maybe takes more of the time than the studies. I guess that also sort of included the last point.
Exactly. Yeah, and as I said, therefore we derived the subcultures from. So we thought first, okay, do we have nationality subcultures? Because we got Iran, we got Germany, we got Norway. Is there any form of a subculture of that? But I don't think we do. Of course, it's hard to have a German group because I'm the only German, or an Iranian group because I'm Iranian. Of course, there could be a Norwegian group, but I don't think that's the case. We don't think that's the case.
No.
We thought we got the subcultures of the semesters people are in, or like in this case, the experience people have in MSUMA, because we are the first semesters here, or at least part of us, and therefore I think we have kind of our subcultures of the freshmen. But there's also people here who've done that for longer, and also the PhD students who are kind of like, we could count them in somehow, and they got a different, they're on a different time scale there. Then of course the subcultures of the full-time and part-time people. And that also comes to the groups. I wrote core group there because that's what I feel we are part of. Five people who are actually in every class. That's the people who are on-campus students, who taking it full-time, and who are also the first-year students. So that's somehow what I think about. That's the core group. And then there's always people from other groups in different lectures and seminars. So that's the subcultures we thought about. Do you want to take that one?
So main cultural artifacts, we were really not certain about this one, so we discussed it with another group, and I guess actually they should have the credit for this one, so thank you. We thought about the NTNU letters in front of the G building as maybe the main cultural artifact here. Where everyone wants to take a photo after they have graduated and have their diplomas.
If I could add to that,
sure.
We thought about an artifact of Amsuma, but we didn't find one, and I don't think we have one, or at least if we have one, I didn't see it yet. But if I want to, or if somebody asked me about the cultural artifact of my studies, now that I know what's meant by a cultural artifact, I would directly relate to the four letters NTNU and the logo. because that's the the only tangible or the only thing that I physical thing that I would think about.
I guess actually this makes me feel like I want to have an Mzuma artifact.
Yeah, some
Wouldn't
kind
you
of
like
mascot
that?
Or something.
Yeah, or a cup or something with our.
Yeah, it's actually true. The computer science, I know computer science people who have their own cups, which says NTNU and then computer science or something. But that's some kind of identity. Maybe.
Yeah, we should get the same. Yeah, we should.
Do you want?
We want to think about this.
Type of identity.
Yeah.
It would be kind of cool to have something to say that's the MSUMA.
Or a sweater like with NTNU and then MSUMA.
Yeah.
That would be very cool. Yeah.
Sweater, a cup, take notes.
Bumper stickers.
Hmm?
Bumper stickers.
Yeah.
Bumper stickers.
Definitely.
Okay.
Pens and so much.
We have the cup with our values.
Mm.
And one of the values is professionalism. And unfortunately, they misspelled professionalism.
Lovely. All right.
Yeah, let's make sure we don't do that.
Just be aware.
All right. Yes.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Okay.
Very.
Yeah. So that was our point on cultural artifacts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For war stories, we just immediately thought about the struggles we all, or at least most of us, had last weekend, I think, when we had the first essay for scientific methodology, and we were talking about the actor's view, and we all kind of struggled with that. And I think if we're talking about war stories and something that everybody could relate to, if we mention it right now. If I say actor's view now, I think at least 80% of the people in here would be like, no, but everybody knows the feeling right now.
Yeah.
Maybe we would answer that question differently after 2 years or after 1 year, but after the short time we had together, I think that somehow the high abstraction level of some courses and the philosophical approaches to some topics that at least I'm completely not used to and other people are not that used to, that's something we could somehow all relate to.
Can I reassure you that PhD students also struggle with it, and it is something that you need to have in your PhD thesis, but not so much that you can get difficult questions as the in the dissertation. So you just write enough so you show the opponents that you know a little bit about it, but you don't get the difficult questions at the dissertation. So that is the rule of thumbs for PhD students, so it's no wonder you struggle with it.
So maybe that's really a war story if you mention it around the people here. When you say actors, you probably everybody's got kind of a similar opinion on that, maybe. Okay.
Yes, values we thought of: honesty, open-mindedness, and knowledge from diversity.
Yeah, because we couldn't formulate the third point into one word.
No.
What do you mean about honesty?
For example, for me, when we're working together, and like for example on this small presentation, and like going to each other and helping each other, and then also mentioning that somebody else had the idea of something. I think this kind of honesty in between the students to share information, not to say, okay, I got this and I'm not going to share it with you because it's my little precious. I think it's a good, that's a value that, or that's something I value in our group, that we share information, that we get credit, and that we somehow try to make the best of it for all of us.
And open-mindedness also, because we come from a lot of different areas of study areas, I guess. So I think also that we allow and we appreciate that others have different views on different topics, and
and therefore knowledge from diversity, that we can actually learn from. Like, I never had chemistry as a big topic in my life, but sometimes when you mention something about chemistry and how you approach or how you get to a solution from something, I think, okay, that's a good approach maybe, but I didn't think about it. We didn't quite know what to do about science.
No.
That's the last bullet point. So maybe we
if
can also...
If we did have the cups, with Amsuma, then we would have, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not sure what sign in this case could be.
No.
But maybe we can reach to a conclusion after our discussion.
Course books, for example.
Oh, yeah. That could be something.
If you don't, if you have this in blank, I would ask a different question. Does that mean something that you haven't found a sign? What does that mean?
I don't think it means that we didn't find a sign. I think it's
more we didn't quite understand the the question.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that's more.
So there's
what
there's
do you mean with sign?
There's probably
my
signs.
Responsibility. So, so yeah, I think that.
Again, I think we come over to the abstract of things.
Mm.
We're used to things being very
tangible.
Yes, and certain and concrete, and we're not used to. I guess the abstract, so maybe this is a dimension of that, I don't know, perhaps.
Okay. Yeah.
Mm. Okay, shall we open for discussion or shall we listen to the others first?
No, I think we'll discuss after each group as present.
Okay.
What do you think? No, you discuss now what they have presented. This
you
is
read
not
like
what
like
you.
The
first
one, maybe?
Sure.
Second one. So I can see the. Yeah. I mean, you can define dimensions in different ways, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it all really depends on what you're looking at. And like in your presentation, you have those three perspectives, those are dimensions.
Yes.
And I know so little about those perspectives, and I find it really difficult to focus on one at a time.
Mm-hmm.
So we chose different perspectives, but other just dimensions than they chose. So I think that's interesting.
It's very interesting. I think it's gives me another dimension.
Yeah.
it's very nice.
Dimensions are not something that is fixed, but is a way of grouping whatever in order to understand. And cultural things are things to understand. This is you peeling the onion. And what you found that dimensions for you was space, it was time, etc. That's all right, as long as I know that these are the dimensions. You see where I'm going? There are no fixed or good answer. There are different answers, and that's it. And that's why you struggle with the actor's perspective also. Because there are no answers. And if you go really deep into science, round of answers, you still debate everything. And that is really frustrating. Or very, very interesting. Yeah. Okay. Thank you if there are. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
How are you?
Okay.
I will try to do my best. Then I leave the stage.
Hi.
No.
Yeah, I'm trying to. Is that better?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Do you want to start?
Yeah, sure. What does it mean to be a new SUMA student? We thought about it, and we are a part of an educational value chain where we are supposed to learn stuff and get grades so we can participate in the work, in real life later on, and make a change, perhaps. Yeah, it's also hard to take part in the work life that is happening outside of the campus when we are here studying. And we are a part of a group with different
ethnicities.
Yes, and from multiple area. We have engineering backgrounds, chemist, economic, etc. And it can be a very subjective experience studying this course, because of our different backgrounds and our different interpretations of the subjects and stuff like that. I think, yeah.
We started out using the dimensions in the presentation, but somehow didn't feel that we knew enough about them to kind of use them in a way that kind of makes sense. So we looked at other dimensions. Means versus goals, internally driven, externally driven, and so on. But what we ended up with after reading all this is that we basically use the student perspective. That's what we know the best, right? We're students, and the way we describe our culture is based on our own experience. That makes the most sense to us, at least. Mm-hmm. So that's what we ended up with. Subcultures, there are lots of them. Maybe Frode wants to talk about that.
Yeah, sure. We have Norwegian students. We can consider that a subculture, I think. And we have foreign students. Even if those two represent different subculture, they are in some way a subculture, I think. We have full-time students and we have part-time students. We are a part of this first year subculture group. And then there is a second year, the subculture group. And as I said, we have students with the different backgrounds. And we are from different places in the world, not only the world, but also in different places in Norway, like Martine from Trondheim, and we are from Gjøvik. So I think that's the subculture that we could come up with, at least.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there are certainly more, but that's where we had chose to end it.
But what I'm trying to figure out, this is something that you can end up identify with.
Yeah.
But is this subcultures or is this categories?
Well, I guess you can argue both points.
Mm-hmm.
But I, in my view, a subculture, they share some values that other subcultures may not share.
Yes.
And if you come from one nationality,
mm-hmm.
you may have another cultural background than another nationality.
Okay.
And that's something you have in common with your subgroup.
Okay.
So that's what I kind of mean.
But what tends to differ from first-year students and second-year students?
Experience?
Yeah, so they are claiming they have more experience than you.
Well, they can be...
Or?
They can be... Well, I'm not saying it has to be that way.
No.
But, I mean, it's often that way. The more experienced you are, I mean, your juniors, you can be their reference point, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So you have some kind of status in many organizations.
Yeah.
So, so in my view, that's a subculture in some way.
I was just wondering what you put into
it. Yeah, sure. I'm not saying we fully understand it, but that's our way of trying to explain it.
Yes, that's all.
When it comes to cultural artifacts, there are, in my understanding, there are different ways of defining what an artifact is. And one way to define it that we kind of chose to implement is the physical object that everyone in that culture kind of identifies with. And we couldn't really find one common artifact that we as MSUMA students actually use. But thinking about it in a broader perspective, we as MSUMA masters are a subculture of the NTNU students. And as a part of that subculture, the NTNU logo on the front lawn is one such artifact. And you can see that kind of after you graduate, you tend to stand behind that logo and get your photo taken. So that's a good indication of an artifact and so on. Another kind of a bit more far-fetched artifact is maybe the manufacturing lab for MSUMA. So that's an example of maybe that could be perceived. I'm not saying it is necessarily, but it could be.
Our very first day here at this master, we had a tour at the additive manufacturing lab. So when I got this question, this popped into my head.
Mm-hmm.
The 3D lab, of course.
And maybe if you think about it, if you use kind of an exhibition of products or things that the manufacturing lab has produced in some way, that could be kind of like a mini museum with artifacts from this MSUMA class, like roller skis of whatever. So that's a way of thinking. That's more kind of like an artifact that could more represent us as MSUMA students and not as a subculture in the NTNU. War stories. We thought about the things that we usually talk about, and they tend to be about lectures and courses. This lecturer is a good lecturer. Everyone knows that. This lecturer is terrible. He's strict. He has terrible exams. Everyone knows about that. This course has a 50% failure rate. Everyone knows about that. So those are kind of the more important war stories. Mm-mm. Let's see. Yeah, maybe you can talk about values.
Yeah. Values, we thought about it, and we came up with, for MSUMA especially, I think sustainability is kind of a major value. With every course we're having, we are emphasizing sustainability in some way. That differs the MSUMA from other masters or whatever on the NTNU, I believe. And we also have ethics as a value. I guess everyone has some sort of ethics as a value. But
just to kind of clarify it a bit, we're basically talking about some of the things that Lucas and Martina talked about. We're just using kind of more broad strokes. It's about Lucas talked about honesty, openness, willingness to share information and ideas,
yeah,
acceptance of more than one perspective, and so on. So those are kind of the ethical values. Yeah, and when it comes to science, our definition of science are different things like written words that the group has in common, and so on. It could be different things, but we focused on the written words because that was easier to comprehend in some way. But like the course books, every MSUMA student uses the same books unless they change from year to year. So that's everyone in this class has the books in common.
Mm.
And we basically read a lot of the same articles and we see the same videos, so the information we get is kind of something we have in common.
Mm. Okay. Yes?
Questions?
So would you also say that, of course, everybody, like, we're not that big of a group, so everybody knows each other's face, but if you, for example, saw somebody walking down the hallway with the book, I don't know, with Steve's book, Sustainable Product Development, you could identify him by that as a sign, as a Fuma student?
I would know that we have that book in common. I'm not saying that he necessarily has to be an MSUMA, right? He doesn't necessarily have to be a part of the same group, but at least that book we have in common. So that can be a link, even if he takes another master, that's kind of a way to link our group with another group.
So that a sign is somehow like something that gives you the ability to not identify somebody maybe, but at least to
know something.
I'll just struggle with the idea about science because we have a blank.
Yeah,
that's good.
Yeah. But I do agree that books can be some sort of means to get together.
Mm-hmm.
And if your example, you just see a guy carrying this book, then you can talk to him about something that you have in common.
Yeah, I would ask him, like, why he reads the book, if it's for university or personal interest, and then
or what do you think of that book or whatever.
Yeah.
It is something that connects you, and you can see immediately that this is something that you have in common. Yeah. Yeah, the group, do you have questions?
No.
No? Swear?
Just have one.